Mr. Clark was a giant. He must have been at least 6'4", and he was broad like an oak tree. His hands were huge, and he had super bushy white eyebrows. Mr. Clark was my high school social studies teacher, and he was a World War II veteran. He piloted B-17 bombers out of England. I remember the day in class when he told us the story that he had been shot down over Germany. His plane was hit by flak and severely damaged. He ordered his crew to bail out as he tried to hold the plane level and together. There was a secondary explosion. Mr. Clark said, "The next thing I remember, I woke up feeling as though I was on the softest bed I'd ever slept on. And then I realized I was falling through the air." He pulled his parachute cord and drifted safely into a field planted with potatoes. But in a moment, he was surrounded by German farmers with pitchforks. They held him until the German Wehrmacht, the German army, picked him up. They drove Mr. Clark to a small town, stopped the truck, pulled him out, and shoved him face first against a wall. Mr. Clark said to the class, "I thought they were going to shoot me." Somebody in the class asked, "What did you do?" Mr. Clark, this giant of a man, quietly, soberly, and with a clear sense of humility, said, "I said the Lord's Prayer." Friends, you could have heard a pin drop in that class. I remember wondering, what would I have done? Would I have the deep well to draw upon as I faced such a dark place? Would I have the presence of mind to dip into that well in my final moments? The 23rd Psalm offers a similar story to Mr. Clark's. David, the author of this poetic affirmation of faith, gratitude, and allegiance to the one true God, penned a verse that must have conjured up for him his own stories of life and death, harrowing and heart-stopping moments. This is what he writes in verse 4. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We cannot know what darkest valley David was thinking of, but we know he had a lot of experiences to choose from. It could have been times as a young shepherd when he faced down some serious predators with his sling and bare hands. He might have been thinking about facing down Goliath, that Philistine military superweapon. Perhaps it was his numerous near-death experiences as King Saul hunted him down with the intent to kill him. Maybe David was thinking about the day his son Absalom led a coup d'etat against David and he fled for his life. On a different level, maybe David was thinking of the dark choices he made when he committed adultery and, to cover it up, had the woman's husband, Uriah, murdered. David had a lot of dark valleys in his life. Now here's the game changer, though. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me." What David had learned is that God doesn't abandon his people, his sheep. Somehow the Lord, my shepherd, goes with me. Whether situations that befall me because of my foolishness or even outright rebellion against God, or things that befall me because of the choices of others, or simply because life happens, God, my shepherd, is with me. Fast forward to the New Testament as Jesus talks to his disciples and to us in a post-resurrection appearance. Jesus gives to us the Great Commission to be his witnesses to all the nations. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20, concludes with these words of Jesus: "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Remember the Marvin Gaye lyrics? "Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe." Can you hear that song? That's Jesus talking to you and me. Those disciples in Matthew 28 must have been scared, confused, bewildered, go into all the world? Are you kidding? How is that going to happen? How am I going to do that? Remember, I am with you always. To know I am not alone, I am not abandoned, Jesus is with me, and no mountain, valley, or river can separate him from his sheep. This is so comforting and empowering. The Apostle Paul, whose life ended at the hands of a Roman executioner, boldly writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wrote that while anticipating his journey to Rome, a trip which he took in chains as a prisoner of the empire. He took that trip knowing it could possibly end with his violent death. Yet Paul knew that even the Roman Empire could not really end his life. Wow! He and David could share some stories. David says, even though I walk through, he doesn't say I die there or stop there, but rather I walk through. The shepherd is with us. The shepherd walks with us and leads us through the valley. The valley is not the end. In fact, Jesus, the shepherd, says to us as he did to his downcast disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you will have persecution. Think types of dark valleys. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Or we might say, take courage, I have overcome the dark valleys. The dark valleys are not the ending point. You will get through these. I will be with you. David got that. Paul got it. Do we get it? Do we embrace this? Do we own it? Do we celebrate it? Last week, Gigi and I drove to Martin, Michigan, just south of Grand Rapids, to visit a cemetery where my ancestors are buried. There were lots of them going as far back as 1791. I noticed that on many of the grave markers, you would find inscriptions of scripture, scriptures of faith and assurance. One of them quoted this text from John chapter 16 using the old King James language, be of good cheer. I love that. I am comforted by that. This person died. Family and friends were mourning his loss, but the words are proclaimed amidst the dark valley of loss and pain. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. This relative of mine had walked through the valley of death. He wasn't stuck there. He walked through and is fully alive with Jesus. He embraced with the Apostle Paul, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, so be of good cheer. Friends, our valleys need not be disasters. They can be a road, yes, a hard road, even an excruciating road, but a road to a deeper and more profound relationship with God and God's love. A deeper and more profound appreciation and comfort from God and from God's love, because we are not alone. Jesus, our shepherd, journeys with and will lead us if we will yield and follow. And we have good reason to yield and follow, because our shepherd has a rod and a staff which bring us comfort. The rod is essentially a club. It is fashioned from a sapling branch of a bush dug up from the ground. It is carved down to fit the hand of the shepherd so as to almost be an extension of the shepherd's arm. The wide end of the sapling is carved into a smooth, rounded surface, almost like a club or a ball on the end of a club's shaft. The rod was an instrument of power and strength. It was used to protect not just the shepherd, but the sheep. The shepherd could even throw the rod with incredible accuracy, allowing it to fall just near a wayward sheep, startling it and moving it back toward the herd. But there is another subtle use of the rod. The shepherd uses the rod for an up-close examination of the sheep. You've heard the expression to have the wool pulled over your eyes. The thick wool of the sheep can hide problems like cuts, disease, and skin ailments, parasites. The shepherd will take the rod and part the sheep's wool, pull it back, if you will, so that the shepherd can see down to where the flesh, the skin of the sheep is, and examine it. This metaphor of the rod and its use in examining the condition of the sheep is used by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 20, verse 37 of Ezekiel, where God says to Israel, "I will make you pass under the rod and will bring you within the bond of covenant." God was wanting to bring them into the flourishing relationship of covenant intimacy with God, and he would use the rod to examine his people. Friends, the shepherd who loves the sheep and wants them to flourish will examine the sheep and follow up with appropriate treatments so the animal can flourish. And this is a metaphor for what God wants to do in my life and your lives as well. The good shepherd wants us, you and me, to flourish. The primary protective examining rod we have is Scripture. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful," another translation says, "profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, also written by David, David invites God, saying this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Friends, the rod of Scripture and the regular reflection upon Scripture, that rod, gives opportunity for Shepherd Jesus to keep us from pulling the wool over our own eyes. Shepherd Jesus examines us through Scripture that both encourages and exposes, promotes courage and conscience, conviction and correction. All of this to lead us away from toxic waters, poisonous grasses and weeds, to steer us away from steep cliffs, to ward off predators, and to draw us toward the shepherd who knows the way that leads to life flourishing. Friends, I'm fully capable of pulling the wool over my eyes. I am fully capable of being both ignorant and blind, fully capable of convincing myself and justifying my attitudes, priorities, and actions. Left to myself, I am fully capable of wandering off a cliff. I need one outside myself, a shepherd, to lead the way, protect, and examine me. I need a shepherd who knows I was made for flourishing and what that flourishing really looks like. That shepherd is Jesus, God in the flesh, his teachings and the larger body of God's word, the whole counsel of Scripture. These are like a plumb line or level that define what level or straight is and help me see if I'm off bubble, out of alignment, and how I can turn and move toward level, or in the biblical language, turn toward flourishing. This is the God David experienced. David, a person who traveled through numerous dark valleys, David, a person who cried out to God, "Search me, examine me, and lead me to your flourishing life." This is the Jesus the Apostle Paul knew and experienced. This is the Jesus, the Good Shepherd, whom the disciples knew and experienced. This is the shepherd who invites us to draw near, to come under his rod, that he might examine, treat, feed, lead, and protect, that we might learn and lean into flourishing. Can I encourage you? The shepherd is good. The shepherd desires your wholeness and flourishing. But we must respond to his voice that calls us to himself. That's often a stumbling block for Americans who value the myth of their own leadership, that I can be my own shepherd. Friends, we are a worshiping creature. We are all worshiping creatures. We will worship something, and whatever that something is, it will rule our lives. Remember, idolatry is often a matter of making good things ultimate things. When we do this, our lives revolve around those good things that we have made ultimate. Whatever they are, they shepherd our time, our resources, our thoughts, priorities, attitudes, and actions. So the question is not, will I have a shepherd? The question is, who or what will be my shepherd? David knew huge success. He experienced absolute power and authority. He had wealth, popularity. He was an accomplished poet, instrumentalist, and songwriter. No material want was left unfulfilled. He had physical strength, rugged features, sexual conquests, military conquests. This guy lived a storied life. And yet, he realized that real flourishing came not from his wisdom or strength, not from the shepherding of his own life, but from yielding to one bigger, wiser, stronger, and far better than he. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I walk through the darkest valleys, I fear no evil, for you, my shepherd, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Friends, I invite you to continue the daily practice of slowly reading through the 23rd Psalm. Read it out loud. Read it through a second time. Take your time. Stop and rest with a word or phrase. Let it ruminate in your mind and soul. Do you sense Jesus prompting you with a thought, a feeling, a memory? Spend time with it. Pray it back to God. Is it something that evokes fear? Pray this back to God. Does it evoke disappointment? Pray this back to God. Does it evoke gladness? Pray this back to God. Does it evoke pain, hope, longing, confusion? Pray these back to God. Allow Jesus to be with you. Allow yourself the space and time to be with Shepherd Jesus. Now I invite you to join me, as we did last week, as we share in saying and praying the 23rd out loud. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen.